B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Aguilar overthrown. And then the other one was not checking out of the play on the third time you ran that screen, as Bob, you were talking about, to Alshon Jeffrey when they were in bunch formation again. Eric Kendricks.
Yeah, that might be a tell for them. Kendricks was sniffing. Uh-huh. Well, like when they go in the bunches there, I don't know. You know, I'm sure they run other stuff out of it, but Eric Kendricks knew what they were doing every time they got in bunches.
Absolutely.
He took three steps. I count three steps he took to the left.
Yeah.
12 seconds left on the clock. You see Carson look up. I'm thinking he's going to check out of it. Yeah. Didn't check out of it.
Oh, Eric Kendricks is like, oh, you're going to do this again on third and two? Mm. Seen this play like four times already today.
And there was another play that you saw later in that game where I think it was Trey Waynes on the deep ball to Aguilar that was overthrown. Aguilar goes in motion to go into the slot.
Or he can't track a ball to save his life. Or burning babies out of a building.
It was still a bad throw.
We're both right.
Carson just comes out every day, doesn't it, Trey?
It does.
But no, I'm talking about...
This
comes down to also Doug and lack of creativity. Predictability is something that we always hate.
Yeah. It's become a predictable offense.
So you see Nelson Aguilar start to go in motion. Trey, remember this play? It was the deep ball to Aguilar. And it was the second one to him in the game. Aguilar goes in motion to go into the slot. You see Trey Waynes start signaling, like, back the hell, like, pointing to the safeties. Guys, go back. This is going to be a deep ball to him. You can see him signaling. Nobody moves. Trey Waynes stays with him, and it ends up being overthrown. Mm-hmm. But still, you could see that they were making that adjustment with the second Nelson Aguilar went into the slot.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, everybody's studying film, you know, and the better prepared team will be able to sit there and say, all right, you know what? They get a hold of your calls. They know exactly what's going on. You're not catching them by surprise. There were a couple of times when you saw in the run, and that's why I've never been a big, like, putting hand signals to plays. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a player getting up there and you ripping kill, at your kill. Chest, kill, whatever that is. Even though you could do dummy kills or whatever. But 9 times out of 10, when they know, like, all right, this hand signal means this. So, all right, hey, that means that they're going to run it to the other side. They're going to hear, if you hear black over, oh, that means that he's going to the left. Or now it was going to the left, it's going to the right. Then you start paying attention to stances and everything else and splits. And then that gives away different things as well. So, I think that especially when you look at teams that's calling out your plays, they're just a better prepared team when it goes to watching film and getting ready for this game.
Oh, well, that's a scary thought. Because I thought, Doug did just get rather defensive yesterday.
They do predictable.
When Doug was asked about not having his team prepared, are you saying I don't have my guys prepared? Yes.
Kind of. In the first quarter, you guys suck.
That's
what I'm saying.
It's a bit of negative.
Yeah, and that's what Les Bowen's comment back was.
Yeah, he's like, you tell me.
Yeah, you tell me. I mean, the numbers show it. The numbers show that you, I hate to say not prepared, but the numbers show that you aren't effective.
You haven't scored a point the first quarter of any road game this year.
Hmm. Yeah. What's Sunday's game, Mark?
That's on the road.
Oh.
It's in Dallas, which is not Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's buck that trend just a little. 610-632. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBaxter.com. Let's get Graf up here. Graf, what's happening, brother?
Man, first off, you remember back in the day when we had Chip Kelly? There were radio hosts all throughout Philadelphia that would try and predict the first, like, scheme or first plays that he would run in the first quarter of games. Uh-huh. And, like, 90% of the time, y'all were correct. And I feel like Doug Peterson might actually be getting to that predictable page at this point.
I hope that's not happening, man. I had a similar thought to you. Like, I remember Tiki Barber in the booth, not in the booth, but in, like, the studio with Sunday Night Football, calling the plays by Andy Reid.
Oh, yeah.
With Michael Vick, he would say, oh, this will be a run right. This will be a run left. This will be a short pass to the left. Like, I can remember that. Sometimes you do fall into that predictability, and that's where you start to get burned, and that's where you have to go back to the lab and start drawing things up that are a little bit different.
I mean, do you just, like, throw Carson out there in, like, a two-minute offense, like a hurry-up offense, and just, hey, man, here's the playbook. These are the plays that you should run. Pick them. Move. Is that what you should do at this point in time? Because scripting plays is garbage. It's not working.
I'll tell you what, Griff. I lean towards your side. Now, I don't lean towards the just throw them out there and let them call anything. There has to be obviously some kind of structure to it all. But having Carson at the line and giving him a little bit of freedom, I'm with you on that. I Naked Eye says to me, they do pretty good in the hurry up. They do pretty good when he's directing, when he's orchestrating from behind the line of scrimmage. I'd like to see a little more of it.
Yeah, because I feel like a kid has, he's super intelligent, so I think it's kind of imperative that you use that to your advantage. Allow him to maybe pick up on blitz packages. Maybe if you give him the ability to have a little bit of freedom at the line in the beginning of games, he can actually get a better understanding of what the defense is going to be throwing at him instead of having him kind of just be prepared, walk up to the line, and run a play. And then my other thing is, like, normally I don't get really mad about missing out on players, but I'm actually really disappointed in Howie Roseman over this. To assume the fact that you're not going to give up two first-round picks and a fourth because of their value, like, you couldn't find Jalen Ramsey with four first-round draft picks. So why on earth would two first-round draft picks, with you finishing up like 25, 26, 27, 28, why on earth would that not make sense to you? And Howie really lost a little bit of points in my book, man.
Oh, so you're telling me right now your confidence in Howie Roseman is taking a hit.
I mean, a little bit, yeah.
That's all we need. That's what we're looking at.
Well, here's the thing. Real quick, Mark. There is this thought out there that St. Louis is going to flip Jalen Ramsey. So they're not going to actually extend him, and they're going to try and trade him for a first and probably like a third-round pick come towards the end of his contract.
Mm.
So maybe Howie's trying to play that and is trying to get Jalen Ramsey for a lesser value from a team that just traded for him. Because let's be real, Jalen Ramsey doesn't make the St. Louis Rams any better. They still have Jared Goff as their quarterback.
Right, L.A., L.A. Rams.
Yeah, oh, my bad.
I deal with the Chargers all the time.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
Take it easy, though, boys.
All right, see you, Greg. Appreciate it. I would love to see Jalen Ramsey on the Eagles as soon as possible. Let's put it that way. I'd like to see him on the Eagles already. I'd like there to be a press conference today with Jalen Ramsey getting introduced after he passes the physical, whatever they have to do. And hopefully that back is looking A-okay.
No, the back is okay.
That'll be a miracle.
I'm completely healed.
A medical miracle. That's what's going to happen right there. Let's get to Damon in Cheltenham. What's up, Damon?
Hey, good morning to you, fellas.
Is it Damon or Damon?
Damon.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. Listen here, fellas. I am disgusted this morning. I'm about to throw the towel in, man.
No, don't do that. You can't give up.
Don't throw it, Damon.
Listen, man. How in the world, after 3 years since our championship, how in the world on God's earth can you not get Jalen Ramsey after seeing these cornerbacks? It's impossible. I don't care if we had to give up every last cornerback in our backfield besides Malcolm Jenkins and McCloud. I'd have gave them all up. Give me Jalen. And matter of fact, I'd have told him, listen, I'd have made sure that the others was running free. I don't care. Just put Jalen Ramsey on one person, the best dude. Everybody else can run free. I don't care.
All right, Damon, you're not at all comforted at the idea of getting Jalen Mills back and Ronald Darby?
Mills? Are you serious?
Damon, I might need that as a drop. I might need that. Are you serious? I might need that because that was very good. And no, I'm not serious.
Yo, you can use that as a drop. I'd love to use a drop. Jalen Mills, man, them guys, they are average cornerbacks, fellas. And it's just a shame, man, because we have a good team. I mean, our quarterback is who he is. Is going to be who he's going to be. So I don't like talking about him, talking down on him. He has some good days, some bad days. But overall, he is the best player on our team, period. So therefore, I'm not going to pick fault at him, especially when I got a defense that's backfield that's horrendous and has been horrendous for the last 3 years, and we've done nothing about it.
Yep.
How we need to go, man?
No. Okay, Damon, to my brother. Damon. I'm not firing Howie Roseman. I'm going to give him a chance to, right the ship here. The deadline hasn't passed, so I'm not saying fire the guy. I'm just asking if your confidence is taking a hit. And if you're saying fire the guy, then I understand that your confidence is taking a bit of a hit.
Confidence, man. I lost all confidence in him after this move because, I mean, you, me, everybody in the world has seen our team. all the opposing quarterbacks has used as double move in the end zone within 10 yards of a move. Who gets beat on a double move within 10 yards?
I don't know. Devon, I got to tell you, you got a great high voice. I'll tell you that right now. When you go high voice... We do need Sarah McLachlan today because it's like that kind of melancholy.
We never need Sarah.
Jalen was our puppy, Bob.
He was our puppy, and we were going to adopt Jalen Ramsey. And then he was going to be under our arm as we sit on a nice sofa and tell you whatever that commercial is, like, what, for 39 cents a day, this could be your puppy?
What is it? What do you do when your puppy runs away, Bob?
For the price of a cup of coffee,
you
could
get him.
This could be your puppy.
Jalen was our puppy.
If your puppy runs away and you don't get him, and you don't find him, you get
he gets adopted by somebody else, and that somebody else was the Rams. He ran away from
us,
Bob.
Are you so selfish that you're not happy he has another home?
Yeah, because...
I mean, in the dark, deep back of my mind, sure.
No. Jadeveon Clowney has another home.
And one sack on the year.
And one sack. Whatever. But he'd do better here. Shut up. I honestly think he would be better off here. And he'd be better than what you have here.
Jalen was our puppy, man.
Jalen was our puppy. Jadeveon Clowney was our puppy.
He's got a bad back.
Minka Fitzpatrick was our puppy. We're just losing puppies. Can't have that.
I like how...
Maybe it's time to look for a cat, then.
On Twitch, you can see Sarah McLachlan's music video playing in the background.
Wait, can you really?
Yeah, when they go to me.
You two over your shoulder?
Yeah.
Just a couple dudes sitting around listening to Sarah McLachlan.
We're talking football.
Sports dudes.
It's Cowboys week. What were we listening to on the radio? They were talking about Sarah McLachlan. And it's really
and puppies.
Nice. And puppies. And you know what? I wasn't mad because it made me feel better about Jalen Ramsey. Okay, now, we want to feel a little bit better today. My man's been holding.
The Sixers.
Now, this is Matisse Thybulle. Pell. Norvell Redenbacher Pell.
Yeah.
Blocking shots.
Oh, yeah.
That one was popping. Yeah. Damon in West Philly is okay without Ramsey. Damon, please share your thoughts.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Hold on. Excuse me. Before I share my thoughts, I just want to say Matisse Thybulle is supporting my theory that I know it doesn't mean that you're going to be a good player if you stay in school at least 3 or 4 years, but I'm so for that. And this guy, Bob, I think in a year or two, all defensive team.
I'll tell you what, Damon. He shows me some things that are stuff you can't teach. Anticipation that is just a God gift to somebody. I really, really like this kid defensively.
His instinct is awesome. I love defense. Here's the thing. The reason why, Mark, I'm okay with it. Couple things. I haven't seen a lot of Jalen Ramsey, but I trust the words of people around the league, right? But I was told the same thing about Nnamdi Asomugha. I was told the same thing about Sidney Jones.
Uh-huh.
But the big problem that I have more than anything, I mean, we could bring in Eric Allen, Deion Sanders. I do not like this defensive scheme. It does nothing for me. It's because it's bland, this wide nine, get the push up front. I said this with Jason that I would like for the Eagles. I know they can't do anything right now because we're doing in the middle of a season and I want us to finish out strong, but I would like for us to go to Sean McDermott's coaching staff and pull somebody out of that tree and bring back that Jim Johnson defense that Trey Thomas and them played with.
Mm-hmm.
Because this defense, I believe it's a combination of things. I believe it's a combination of corners. I'm not going to put it all on the scheme. Okay. I definitely believe it is the corners, but the scheme, here's why I say this, Mark and fellas. If you notice in the past 2 years, it seems like maybe three, the corners and the safeties are not on the same page, Trey.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I can't recall that happening with a Jim Johnson defense. You have to be on the same page.
All right, real quick, David, before we get there. You haven't been impressed at all of how many adjustments Jim Schwartz has had to make in this defense. And I'm not just talking about because of lack of players, but also because of the whole scheme has changed because of your personnel changing. Like, he has made that adjustment. He hasn't looked at him and go, square peg, round hole. He has gone, all right, let me see how I make all this fit together. And I think he's done the best he can with what he's given right now, talent-wise.
I agree with you, Mark.
Okay.
Here's where I start to question that. I understand why you have to change up your scheme. But is that your scheme? Because now I don't know what your scheme is.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, I knew what Jim Johnson's scheme was. I'm not asking him to be Jim Johnson, but I knew that scheme. You know what I'm saying? I knew I'm going back. I'm giving my age. I knew with the Swamp Fox camp, you know, Campbell, I knew his scheme was back in the day. I'm going way back, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Rush the passer with Claude Humphrey.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I knew Buddy Ryan. I just don't know Jim Johnson's scheme, man. And I love defense. I love Eagles defense. I'm just not impressed with this defense. But here's the thing. It's a lot of season left. I want him to do better. I want him to do well. And I think we can turn it around. But we just, you know, we got to make some adjustments and get that offense going. So, you know, let's start with Dallas, man. Have a good show, Dallas.
Thanks, David. I appreciate it. Everyone wants to win in Dallas. I get it. Mm-hmm. But, like, the adjustments right now, though, Trey, I see the defensive problem as being a vast lack of talent as opposed to a lack of adjustments or scheme.
Yeah, but then too, you look at it and you do see that they're ill prepared sometimes. You know, there was on one of the plays that Douglas got beat on, and I think that it was one of the passes that were overthrown, and Sydney, I believe, was supposed to rotate over because of how everything kind of flared out. Safeties came down, and I think Sydney was supposed to kind of go back to kind of help in the center of the field, and it was just kind of like, it was just, too many times you see a lot of miscommunication on the backside of some of these plays. And like you said, there was one time where Diggs was one of his touchdowns, just ran by because one of the other guys bit on something and you know, didn't understand that the linebacker had him, or even where the safety is coming down on the tight end. A lot of miscommunication on the back end of that defense.
Yeah, one time McLeod came in to cover somebody underneath when Douglas got beat deep, and my thought was, my God, aren't you going into this week saying, keep everything in front of you at all cost? Even if that catch is made 15 yards downfield, okay, you're releasing and you're going after the ball. See ball, get ball. But why are you coming in underneath when you have Rasul Douglas one-on-one? It makes no sense to me.
And like on the one play where Malcolm Jenkins was supposed to be there, you know.
Because
he sat there and you saw, I don't remember if it was a tight end or a receiver coming across, but
I think it was Thielen line up in the slot. They had Johnson on the outside. They had Stephon Diggs on the other side, on the outside as well. So I think they had three wide receivers set up. Mm. Johnson was running deep and was wide open behind Sidney Jones. Thielen was coming across, and I think that's where Rodney McLeod bit on the inside route.
Right.
And then Rasul Douglas was tracking Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. I mean, but you could just see that there's a lot of miscommunication on the back end of this, of the defense.
So now what do they do against the Cowboys? Now they got to take the same defense. Now, look, Jalen Mills back. He won't be playing a lot of snaps because of, you know, the conditioning and all that. Ronald Darby, as Doug Peterson said the other day, he will be playing a little bit more because he has played this season. But now you're going to be taking these guys that are just off the mend into this game. And we hope, as Adam Schefter told us at 8 o'clock today, he does not expect Amari Cooper to be playing in this game. So that's one little benefit towards
the Eagles. It's something.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
Let's go.
I wonder if that changes your defensive philosophy immensely. If Amari Cooper's playing now,
probably more freedom to have Malcolm down low in the box.
Mm-hmm. Right. And keep every, that's another, you know, there's really no threat to get beat deep like he can. So, Trey, I'll ask you, can you change your defensive philosophy that quick? Can you put it this way? Can you put in, all right, Cooper's not playing, we want to go this way. Cooper is playing, we go that way.
I mean, yeah, you can always make adjustments to whatever you want to run, but then now I'm looking at what happened in this particular game. I guess even when you go back and you look at the Jets, okay, yeah, you weren't missing Cooper. You were missing Cooper, but I mean, you know, you still have some NFL receivers out there.
Sure.
That can hurt you. You know, if you're not on point with what you have to do. I mean, if you're sitting up there and you're getting beat with double moves and you're giving up, you're not getting the rush there, you're not throwing off the timing of the receivers, they can still eat you up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, just because Cooper isn't in there isn't where you just feel like, all right, we got it all under control.
No. Yeah. Third and fourth receivers are where, you know, against the Eagles are where they thrive.
our boy, Real Princess hit me up on Twitter right now saying you can't say lack of talent for the defense and not say the same thing about the offense and then kill Doug Peterson like you did yesterday. I think it's totally different because I've seen, in other words, he's saying you can't say it's talent on defense and not scheme and then say on offense it's all scheme and not about the lack of talent. So I'm not saying that about Doug's offense because I haven't seen any adjustments in Doug's offense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen Jim Schwartz make adjustments to his game plan.
Sure.
I haven't seen any of that from Doug. What's the adjustment you've seen there?
maybe they've gone to the run a little bit more, the Jordan Howard thing.
There's no adjustment.
Yeah, it is. There's been no.
And here's one thing I will agree with Ron, or no, I'll agree with Jaws on many things, but when he pointed out last week, getting Carson into a rhythm against a team like the Vikings, because if they do get into that shootout and the Vikings start putting up those points, which they did, 38 of them, then you need to make sure your offense can score quick strike as well. You're not going to do that without Carson Wentz being in a rhythm.
Right.
Now, they did rely on the run game heavy. They ran three times, came up with a three and out, unfortunately. But now going into Dallas against that defense, which is still a pretty damn good defense.
Oh, I love their defense.
You got to see Carson get into a rhythm in that game.
And you know what? And when I went back and I watched this game yesterday, man, you could tell that Carson doesn't feel comfortable behind the offensive line. You know, you could tell like he's still a little nervous. He starts moving when he doesn't have to move. There was one particular play where I can't remember if it was Nelly that was running kind of a similar type of play that Diggs ran, where Nelly was running up the field, and if Carson would have led him a little up the field down the middle and just threw it a little left, kind of just how the same play Diggs was
right,
just on the other side of the field. It could have been something, but instead Carson was looking straight left, and because the pressure is coming in his face, he was just like, I need to get rid of the ball, instead of being able to sit back there comfortably and scan the field and then now make the throw. Too many times you see where he gets a little uncomfortable and starts spinning out of there or moving around when it's because of the protection that he just doesn't feel like he has the time.
There was a play yesterday on Twitter that was getting a lot of popular show. It was when they sacked him on the blitz, when they sacked Carson Wentz on the blitz.
Yeah.
He went up to the line of scrimmage, and it might have been Michael Kist or something, I'm not sure. But he changed the blocking scheme. Comes back, gets the ball. Zach Ertz had one-on-one. The cornerback had his hips turned inside. He went... It had his hips turned outside. He went inside. It was wide open if he had, like, a half an extra second.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the blame went... I don't know if you saw the play, Trey, but I wonder if the blame goes to Wentz going up and changing the blocking scheme, or if it goes on the offensive line for not just picking everything up.
Well, Jordan Howard, I believe, was the one that was a little late on that.
Oh, he was. He absolutely was.
So,
he whiffed.
Yeah, so then now you have where, because it was that double A gauntlets, right, and they ran a game where it was a three technique that came around, and Eric Kendricks came around the three technique. So now that throws Jordan Howard off a little bit. He should have been there to take care of that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the offensive line took care of everything else. They make the call, all right, we have this linebacker if he comes. What happened was they ran the three technique slanted inside. Eric Kendricks came around through the B gap, and Jordan Howard should have been there to take care of that. He got lost in the middle, and then there you go. That's the sack.
Yeah. All right, let's see if Belial in South Philly can make us feel a little bit better about life. Belial, what's on your mind today, brother?
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Trey.
Yes, sir.
Man, best offensive lineman Eagles ever had, man.
Appreciate it.
Well, congratulations on the naming of the park. Looking forward to you getting the Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
Mark, real quick.
Yo, homie.
I was going down, I ain't going to say where I work at, but I was coming from work, coming off of Belvoir. Did I see you down there?
Wait, down Bellevue?
Yeah, on Plymouth Meeting off of Belvoir Avenue.
I don't think so. When was this?
You got a twin then. Look just like you.
Was he bald and bearded? Yeah, I got a twin. I got a few of them.
Hey, listen. Listen, I don't want to get into the Eagles, but I want to say this real quick. Y'all got to stop thinking about player ability and player personnel. I'm telling you, with the Antonio Brown and the Terrell Owens and this guy not going to practice, his personality might not be cool, man. So, you know, it ain't always about player ability. It's about player personnel, to his personality, man. So that might play a part in it as well. But with the Sixers, now... I know it's only preseason. The guys are balling. Do you think Chief Beef built this team to a point where, like, if Embiid, because we don't really know, Embiid's still making dumb falls, and God forbid he get hurt. But do you think we still be all right if something like that was to happen with Al Horford and the guys we got now? Hey, great call, man, you know. Great calling in. I want to listen to y'all. Hear what y'all got today.
Belial, you're my man. Are they okay in terms of will they still want to still contend for the championship? No, they'll still be a good team. And they'll still make the playoffs. They can still make a playoff run, but they're not going to be a championship contender without Joel Embiid. You're talking about an MVP candidate leaving your lineup.
They have a lot of talent. They don't have enough talent. Nobody would have enough talent in the NBA to overcome an injury to Joel Embiid.
Well, if anybody could, they might be the one.
You know why? Because Chief Beef will make some kind of trade.
Yeah.
In Chief Beef, we trust.
When Al Horford and Tobias Harris are possibly your like third and fourth best options, you're in pretty good shape.
Sixers are stacked, yo.
Yeah.
They might be stunningly good. What do you say?
No, go ahead.
So, the Sixers are stacked, yo.
Yeah. All right.
You like the yo?
Yeah, that's good.
Conservatively 78-4. By the end of the show, I might be conservatively at 80-2.
Why do you hate the why do you hate the Sixers, man?
81-1, fine.
Why you got to guarantee losses all of a sudden?
I went undefeated.
How many playoff games?
This is conservatively speaking.
It's not conservative speaking. I'm just going undefeated, you know.
It's not fo-fo-fo anymore. It's fo-fo-fo-fo-fo-fo-fo-fo-fo.
Right.
Fo. We need a statue of just foe. I'm telling you right now. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we got Troy, we got Sam, we got LeVar, we got Charlie. We got some open lines after that if you want to get in on it. But Trey, you have to unveil the mystery here. You tweeted out the photo.
Oh, have people been, giving us their answers on which they thought was the right look?
A, B, and C. Yeah. A, B, and C, which was the right look to run this this fake field goal against?
Uh-huh.
Is that the question, or is it which one did they run against?
I don't know which we. I don't know what's that.
What did we do with our lives, Sam? What was the question we asked?
I'm not sure. Trey just asked which one was the right look. So
we have
just
no
asked,
idea what's
what
going
is the
on.
Right look.
Jalen Ramsey not being an Eagle has thrown us through it. Thrown us in a blender. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 9:25. And
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
We're going to rock that 10 mode. We're going to get back to the 10. Back in Philly, though. You feel me?
You going to sling it? All right, North Dakota kid.
All right, Trey, shoot me straight here. What do we got? What do we got? What's it looking like?
You know, everybody's been kind of commenting on it, you know, just seeing which one was the right one to go with.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, A and C. Well, B was the look that we actually ran the fake on.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Where the guy was standing up on that side.
Both were. Mm-hmm. It was the only time they looked like they were actually in position to defend a fake field goal.
Yeah, it did look like they were.
Because both times, the other two times, everybody's down at the line of scrimmage, ready to rush into the backfield.
So the look they wanted was a guy acknowledging that a fake was possible and guarding the exact area that the route was going?
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
But he was open on the break.
He was open on the break, though.
He was
NFL open.
If it's your first pass in the NFL, you have to be able to read it.
He should have read it on the break. I mean, come on. Is the book out on Doug that he's such a risk taker at this point that any of these types of situations, teams are just going to look for it now?
Well, I think book's out right now on Jake Elliott. Jake Elliott can't throw.
Cannon.
I think the book's out on him right now.
They're waiting for the next Philly, and Jake Elliott's going to come out on the field.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and be Trey Burton.
Anybody looking at the formation that you just put out there, Trey, knows that of the one to not run against, to run that play against for the fake field goal, that's the one that you don't run against.
Yeah,
that's a terrible look.
Yeah, that's not the right look.
Like, that look was BS.
Yeah, it was.
Why would you run a play against that coverage right there?
I'm not sure. Maybe they thought that guy was just going to take off running somewhere else or something. I'm not sure. I guess I don't know if they watch a film. If he was up, did you felt like, you know what, he's going to go somewhere else?
Or just stay there,
I don't know.
How I feel right now, after the stupidity of that play call, after an embarrassing loss to the Vikings, after during the course of the week losing out to a guy, or losing out on the Jalen Ramsey sweepstakes, I don't know how I'm going to be on, I don't know how I'm going to feel on Monday. I actually might, for the first time since, let's see, I don't know. I can't even remember a time I was this depressed over Philadelphia. Maybe the quadruple doink. Maybe that. I might actually slip into a depression on Monday.
No, you won't.
If they lose.
Oh, if they lose. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we're playing with. We're playing with fire right now in Philadelphia sports, especially with the Eagles. To lose to the Vikings the way they did with the worst play call we've seen in a long time from Doug Peterson, to lose out on the Jalen Ramsey sweepstakes and then possibly lose to the Cowboys on Sunday night in prime time, I might actually slip into it. And by the way, it'll be what, 8 hours removed? Well, let's see, not even. Be about six hours removed. 6 hours removed from the end of that game to the time we go on the air, I might actually be in a deep depression by Monday morning.
That's your triple doink right there, huh?
I guess it is. I won't be able to handle it.
Rightfully so, especially where the expectations were coming into this season. And, you know, we talk about in-game adjustments. Well, it's right to look at Howie and say, well, where are the in-season adjustments? It's just not happening. I understand the depression.
Let's get to Troy. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Troy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for taking my call. Before I get to my Eagles point, I want to make my comment on the Sixers. And this might be our year, because it's going to be the first year that we haven't had our draft pick start on an injured reserve. So it's high hopes. You know, I'm looking real, real good at the 76ers.
Troy, I'm sorry. I got to do this. Do we have a breaking news sounder available by chance? I'm just curious if we have a little breaking. John Heyman reports Joe Maddon.
Angels.
And the Angels close to a deal to make him their
This has been done for 2 weeks.
That's what I got to say to that.
Wow.
Troy, sorry about that, buddy.
All right, no problem. But look, going to the Eagles. Okay, I'm not going to say relax, but I just want everybody to breathe. Okay? Because at the end of the day, how we know what he's doing? Okay? The thing about it is, yeah, as fans, we look at Jalen saying, yo, we need him. We want him. We need him in the system. But then as general manager, you had to look at the money. You had to look at the culture. You had to look at different things that's going to play a part. Yeah, we need him right now, but will he be worth it? Will we be able to afford him in the next 2 or 3 years? And that's the things we got to take into consideration. Another thing we got to look at, too, is we are a drop pass, misplay, a misblock, a missed scheme. A misblock from being 5-1.
That's a lot of mistakes.
But Carson Wentz didn't play preseason. So he didn't have the game time it down. Okay, so now he's in here, and he's going through all these things. Okay, and that's why Peterson's like, yo, we real close. And I believe him, because it's going to take this time for everything to come together. Look, this is the same defense that was playing last year, okay, when we was just Alshon Jefferson drop pass from going we don't know where, okay? And all we have to do is just breathe. And just let the Eagles go ahead and do their thing.
All right.
I trust and believe them.
I hope you're right. And thanks for the call, man. I hope you're right. But all right, now I might slip into depression right now.
Pull it out.
I'm taking this. No, I'm taking this call. I'm doing this. Sammy in D.C., what's on your mind? Sammy?
Oh, I didn't even see this. Oh.
Sammy!
Hey, Natitude Idiot, we're giving you your chance.
Here's what it says on the board. Thanks for Bryce Harper. We're going to the World Series. All right, so I want to give this person the opportunity, and they're not there.
Come on, Sammy.
Yeah, I'm here.
That's an attitude fan is phone bill.
First of all, no one wants to talk about the Eagles. They suck. They're in the worst division in football.
Redskins are good. You got the Redskins. Yeah.
They're great.
Thank you for signing a $300 million.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Why are they so upset? Like, I get it. He left.
I'd still do the deal in a heartbeat.
They seem to be enjoying the fact that they're at the World Series more without Bryce Harper than just being in the World Series.
Yeah, that's pretty good to be at the World Series.
Yeah, it's cool. Enjoy it.
Come on. You can't say as a Philly fan if the roles were reversed.
No, yeah. But, like, I'm not calling a D.C. sports station to be like, thanks for taking that superstar off our hands.
You're welcome.
No, who cares?
If any of us would do it, it would be you.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it would.
You got $330 million.
No, hold on. I do agree with Bob. If anyone,
I would never do that. Never, ever.
Yeah, you'd have an impulse.
Yeah, you would. You'd have it on speed.
They should just enjoy being in a World Series. Like, what does Bryce Harper have to do with this?
Well, he left you for money, and now you're going to the World Series without him.
Well, that's Matt Klentak's fault, not Bryce Harper's fault.
What I'm saying is, they're not going to call Matt
Klentak. They're going to call the Philly fans.
Bryce Harper's awesome.
I don't care if Washington's in the World Series or not. I still want Bryce Harper on my team.
Yeah, he's awesome. I regret nothing.
All right, thank you. That's all.
That has nothing to do with the national success.
That's all I'm saying. LeVar, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Great.
Listen, man, if Howie doesn't, if he doesn't make this right by the trade deadline, I'm packing it in and I'm focusing on the Sixers, man, because since 2017, we knew that we had one of the worst secondaries in football. But in 2017, the inefficiencies in the secondary were masked because the D-line and the linebackers were getting home a little bit more, so they didn't have to cover as long. Now, it's been 3 years, and they haven't made one positive adjustment to the secondary. We can talk about scheme all we want. You can't cover people with inefficient corners. It's nothing you can do. If they just can't do it, they can't do it. It's like asking me or one of you guys to get out there and cover somebody, an NFL receiver. If you can't do it, you can't do it. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And we would have drafted, for the last couple of years, we've been drafting 25, 26, 25 or better. Just say that. Who are you going to find 25 or better that was going to amount to Jalen Ramsey in a passing league?
Nobody! Nobody, LeVar!
You got to be kidding me. Howie, we can talk about Howie has done a good job in X, Y, and Z. Where? What has he brought to the table?
A World Series championship.
Other than Carson Wentz.
Super Bowl, sorry.
And I say maybe, I'm talking about players. I'm talking about players. Who has he drafted that has actually panned out other than Carson and maybe Dallas Goedert?
Fletcher Cox.
Who has he drafted that has actually panned out?
No, I understand. Look, that's a whole tough, that's a road to hoe another day. But just in terms of this one deal to make.
It's a tough hoe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one. And one deal, this is the deal to make. And I agree with you on everything else, LeVar. I agree with you on everything else. This was a deal to be made. And if anyone was going to make this work with the salary cap, it was going to be Howie after the fact.
Your benchmark is obviously the New England Patriots. If Bill Belichick would have won a Super Bowl the way the Eagles did in 2017, he would have high-fived, gotten to a back room 10 minutes later and said, we got to shore up this secondary. They just gave up 511 yards. We were lucky to win that Super Bowl. Eagles didn't do that. It was all, oh, they'll be better. Look, we won a Super Bowl with them, so they'll be better, and they'll be better, and they haven't gotten better.
No, this hasn't happened yet.
No.
Yeah. God help us all if they lose on Sunday night. Mm. But they're not going to, because I'm keeping the faith, especially with Amari Cooper not playing.
Jeez, bringing me down.
I'm not ready. Yeah, no, I'm just saying. Well, at least we have the Sixers.
They're really good.
Hope you all keep tossing the pot, Seth. That's what I hope happens. Trust the process, I guess, with the Eagles now. 610-632-0975. We got Charlie, Brad. We got Barry. We got Jimmy. Time of the Fanatic is 9:42.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What it do, baby? Yeah, you.
We're going streaky! Yeah!
I do. It was Step Brothers. It wasn't old school, but the thing that kept on repeating in my brain was, you know the line when he leaves his parents' wedding and Step Brothers, this wedding is horse?
Yeah.
You know
what I'm
like, not training for Ramsey is hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of how it makes me feel. Charlie in Frankfurt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, man.
Great. I have to disagree with you guys about Carson Wentz. I mean, we pay this guy to be a star quarterback.
Yes.
Here. And sometimes you have to carry the team on your shoulders, even when the defense is not playing well. We knew this defense was sucked going into the season. And we knew the defensive back sucked going into the season. Same, you know, starting defensive backs coming back, this year. So sometimes you need a, you know, your star player to step up. And I'm tired of hearing excuses for this guy. When I watch him, I see above average quarterback. I don't see a star quarterback. And I know you're going to disagree with me, but I look at this guy and I look at guys like Deshaun Watson who go and get the job done, you know, on the road against a tough team and Arrowhead. He went in there and
he has DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, he had Alshon Jeffries, which is a good, and he has two good tight ends. The guy leaves a lot of plays on the field, okay? He's not as good as everybody thinks he is. And I'm sorry when I watch the
okay,
guy.
Okay, all right, Charlie, you're right. In terms of the substance, like the resume, Carson's still trying to add to that. We want to see him get back to a guy that can play like an MVP did in 2017. We haven't seen that yet. He has been good this year. He doesn't have the substance because the wins aren't there. But if you watch every snap, and you're an Eagles fan, I'm sure you do, you got to see a lot of other guys making mistakes around. Like, I was hard on him after the Lions game. I was very hard on him. Took a lot of criticism for it because I want the substance. But watching him play throughout the rest of the season, he's not the problem here.
I'm going to give you a prime example. I'm not saying he's the problem. But when you're getting paid $100 million to be a quarterback here, you have to be not the problem, but you have to be the equation. And this guy's not the equation, okay? When I'm stating he's not the star, he's not the becoming what people are trying to make him out to be, all right? When I look at, and I'm not trying to bring up this guy, but when I look at the Super Bowl from 2 years ago, we gave up over close to 600 yards on defense. And Nick Foles still won the football game because he had to outdoor the other quarterback. I don't see him.
The other defense sucked.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter.
Other quarterbacks, you outdoor them. You don't let Kirk Cousins outdoor you. And the other week before that against the Jets, he threw 400 and something yards. The guy is not that good.
You know what, Charlie?
The guy's not that good, Charlie. You went from he's an above average quarterback now to he's not that good.
He isn't. Above average isn't that good.
Talent-wise, I do think he is that good. It's going to take a lot more than just relying on Carson.
He's above average, but he's not that good.
He's got the best wide receiver in football, but it doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. People are nuts.
DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, I would shank any of the three of you four to have with Carson Wentz.
I don't want you to shank me for anything.
Right in the kidney, Bob.
Wait, would it be a toothbrush or a nail file?
Would you choose? Dealer's choice.
Toothbrush, less rigid. I'll take that shanking. I will take that shanking.
Could you imagine DeAndre Hopkins with Carson Wentz?
If it helps the team.
Just think about it for 1 second.
Hold on, Jimmy's holding in Brooklyn. I just want to get him in real quick. Jimmy, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to thank that last call. Way to go, you big dummy. Way to piss off the radio
host
while they take my question.
No. Jimmy,
happy Jimmy.
Jimmy,
amnesia, Jimmy.
Jimmy, I already got shanked. I can't be even more any more pissed off than that. So go ahead.
Bro, what's with this guy? Anyways, forget about him. Listen, Carson Wentz, he's way above average as a quarterback. He doesn't have, like you said, the DeAndre Hopkins. We're hurt. But people got to realize that the Eagles, we got the injury bug. Look at DeSean Jackson, out. Our defense, two of our defensive line players are out. All right? We're getting hit with the injury bug. You know, listen, I think people should calm down. I'm a diehard Eagles fan. I just got my Philly tattoo on my hand not too long ago. I'm a diehard Eagles fan, brother. We just need to relax a little bit. But my thing is this, though, is that with the Jaguars, didn't we offer the Jaguars the same exact thing that the Rams offered?
Supposedly, but as Bob pointed out, thanks for the call, Jimmy, what, they're besties? The two GMs are besties?
Yeah, they are. They have history back with the Arizona Cardinals, so, yeah. Sometimes friends deal with friends.
Sam, what's the final on our Twitter poll, of course, today?
Our Twitter poll was brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, are you losing confidence in Howie Roseman? We had just under 3,000 votes today. It went down 1% again. 55% said yes, they lost confidence.
He gained confidence? Howard Roseman's family waking up late in the day.
The deadline.
All right. Good enough. All right. Let's go to our takeaways of the day. Sam, what do you have as your fine takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is that Adam Schefter says he does not think that Amari Cooper will play this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That is a nice little takeaway for today. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
Everybody relax. They're going to the playoffs. They're going to get healthier. And Howie Roseman is going to address something. That's all I got. It's not doom and gloom.
The bathroom. That's what he's going to address.
I really believe the NFC is wide open for the taking, and this team is only going to get better.
Bob Cooney?
Before the trade deadline of the NFL, the reaction to Howie Roseman is going to change from now, which is, what the hell, Howie, to, oh, okay. Trust me on that.
Okay. Trey?
Man, I don't know what the hell going on. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day. My takeaway of the day is two Twitch comments from Army Prince 2020. A sad Jamie is a sassy Jamie. And then next comment from the same person, Jamie is a serial killer.
Oh, okay.
So
nice.
That's good. That's good to know about you.
I guess Shank Talk will lead to that.
A little bit. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.